Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. The public was unaware of Jesus' entrance back into Capernaum until someone discovered his presence. The news spread like wildfire. The multitude swarmed around him to the point that there was no room. Although Jesus' fame was due to his miracles, it is often said that he preached the gospel. The Gospel of Mark is a fascinating book that provides much insight into Christ's life as a servant. As Dr. Kinlow begins to teach from Mark chapter 2, verse 1, you'll discover some essential details that I firmly believe God wants us to understand. Let's listen and learn.
Let's say amen.
Amen.
Let us go to the scriptures, Mark chapter 2. Brother Fonz, I know you got to leave, but I want you to hear this. We were at a funeral yesterday, and they sung that song, God is my everything. And me and Elder Greg said, you know, the guy that led that, he was okay, amen? I said, but we got an elder in Canton, amen? That Word of God Community Church can really teach y'all how to do the lead to that song, amen? So I want you to know we gave you your props yesterday, amen? And amen. Let us go to the word of the Lord. We're in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 through 12. Pray for me today. I got a flu shot on Thursday. And they say when you get a flu shot, it gives you a little bit of the bug. And so I think I have a little bit of the flu shot bug. Amen? It's not real bad, but I know it's there. So pray that the voice lasts and I don't go into too many coughing spells. And so Sister Shirley gave me some cough drops, so I guess I better get another one just in case. But we're studying the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, 1 through 12. I'm going to begin reading at verse 1, and I'll read through 11, and you can read 12 back to me. When he, meaning Jesus, had come back to Capernaum, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. And many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Being able to get to him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had dug an opening, they let down the pallet on which the paralytic was lying. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. But some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately, Jesus, aware in his spirit that they were reasoning that way within themselves, said to them, why are you reasoning about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and pick up your pallet and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, get up, pick up your pallet, and go home. Verse 12, read.
And he got up and he picked up the pallet and went out in the sight of everyone, so they were all amazed and were glorifying God, saying, we have never seen anything like this.
Can God's people say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You might have a seat. We're studying the Gospel of Mark in its entirety. In other words, several weeks ago, we started in Mark 1:1. And we plan on going all the way through until we go through Mark chapter 16, all the way to the 20th verse. And so I'm probably going to be here at least a year. And so just keep reading Mark over and over and over and over and over, and you'll be well prepared. And hopefully what I preach and teach, it'll be more illuminating and make more sense in your mind in order that it can seep down to the heart and you can live it out in your life. And so we are studying the Gospel of Mark in its entirety. Our purpose is to discover as much as the Spirit of God chooses to illuminate to our minds, and then apply the truths we see in Mark in as practical a way as we can. So our purpose is to discover as much truth as the Spirit of God will illuminate to our minds. But we don't want to stop there. We want to find practical ways to apply the truth we read in Mark in our lives. As I've said before, we are also studying Mark to get an essential understanding of all of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Because remember, all of Mark is contained in Matthew and Luke, even though Matthew and Luke give their own unique details to the narrative of Christ's earthly ministry. All of Mark is contained in Matthew. All of Mark is contained in Luke. Therefore, if you can grasp the contents of Mark, you'll already grasp a great majority of Matthew and Luke. So from this perspective, Mark, it is a key document for the believer to read and to study. The author of Mark is the ministry associate of both Paul and Peter, the man in the scriptures identified as John Mark. He was especially helpful to Paul and Peter in their later years of ministry. According to the first historian of the church, Eusebius of Caesarea, John Mark's primary source material was the eyewitness account of the first disciple Jesus chose, Simon Peter. So when you read Mark, you are reading Simon Peter's recollections of what took place during the earthly ministry of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Many New Testament and textual scholars also believe Mark is the basic oral or traditional teaching the apostles taught the first century church concerning the earthly ministry of Jesus. Remember, at this time, most could not read and write. Not everybody could get their hands on copies of the New Testament, etc., etc. They really didn't have it as well as you do, because, you know, you can read the Word of God in several different translations anytime you want. Amen? And so the apostles would teach them this oral tradition concerning the ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus. And they would teach them these same set of facts over and over and over until everyone in the church had a firm grasp of the earthly ministry of our Lord. So most scholars believe Mark, for the most part, is the oral teaching of the apostles to the church concerning the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ. And so now we want to move on to chapter 2 and study this great miracle our Lord performs by enabling a man paralyzed apparently from the neck down, the chest down, delivering him, enabling him to pick up his bed or his pallet and walk away. Notice Mark 2:1 says, when he came back to Capernaum, remember we are studying this inductively, so there's really no theme, and then we develop that theme. We are just dealing with each truth as we come to it in the text. So this is an inductive study of Mark rather than what we would call a deductive or a thematic structure where we give you a theme and then we develop it with the text. No, we're just studying word by word, verse by verse, word by word. And when we see truth, we stop there, we deal with it, and then we move on. Amen? Amen. Notice once again, Mark 2:1, when he had come back to Capernaum, several days afterward, it was heard that he was at home. A short time before this episode in Capernaum, Jesus had spent some considerable time in the unpopulated areas of Palestine because the leper he had healed in Mark 1:40-42 had disobeyed his stern warning, don't tell anyone I've healed you of your leprosy. And so we saw that last week, the leper, he disobeyed, he goes out and starts telling everyone he can find that Jesus has delivered me from my leprosy, And as a result, the crowd so pressed upon Jesus that he could no longer do any public ministry, but he had to go out into the unpopulated, desolate areas to literally get away from the crowd. And so apparently some time has elapsed. Things have died down. The crowds have went away. And so Jesus, he goes back to Capernaum, to the home of his disciples, Peter and his brother Andrew. And after he had been there for several days, the text says it was heard that he, Jesus, was back at home, or the home of Peter and Andrew. Now, let me slow down. Even though Jesus had been back in Capernaum for several days, he did no public ministry. Let me say it again. Even though he had been back in Capernaum for several days, he did no public ministry. For if he did, the text would have never said that the people heard Jesus was back in town. If the people heard the Lord was back in town, they were not absolutely sure that he was not back in town. Does that make sense? Amen. We heard, don't really know. We heard he's back at home. We heard it, but, we don't really know it, but we heard that is the case. If the people of Capernaum would have known the Lord was back in town, the text would have said, and when the people knew Jesus was back at home, but it doesn't say that. They heard he was there, but they weren't sure he was back. Now, we don't know what Jesus did for these several days, but we do know what he didn't do. And that is, he did no public ministry. He did no teaching. He did no miracles. He did no healings. It is therefore not unreasonable to conclude Jesus was resting for several days, or he took a few days of downtime. Dr. Kinlow, what be the point? Well, the point be, it is no sin to take a break from ministry. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen? Now, I ain't talking about no long hiatus, amen? I'm taking a break from God for 3 years and then I'll be back. No, it is nothing wrong with taking a short break from ministry. Why? Everybody needs some downtime. I want to say for years, I was a pastor workaholic. I always had to be reading theology, always reading through the Bible, always working on sermons, always doing other church things. I believe for at least the first 10 years of my pastoral ministry, I never missed a Sunday. And I planned all my vacations around my preaching, my teaching, because I had to make sure I was there Sunday to preach. And so for a long time, I really never had a break from the pulpit. Now, the reason for my pastor workaholic behavior was this. I did not want to be labeled a lazy, fried, chicken-eating preacher. Amen? Amen. Somebody say amen, because we do have some of those. I also didn't want to give any credence to many people's belief that pastors only work one day a week, but they get paid for a full-time week. I understand the implication is pastors really do not work a real job, and they are really not worth what they get paid. To this day, after 32 years of full-time pastoral ministry, I am still on occasion asked this question: have you finally gotten a job? Or where are you working at now? And I understand they are subtly insulting me. And it was things like that that drove me to be a pastor workaholic. The truth of the matter is, pastors and preachers need downtime. Amen. They need rest just like everyone else. They need time to do other things which have nothing to do with pastoral ministry. In other words, pastors and preachers need time to relax just like everybody else. The reason I say this is because for several days, Jesus, while in Capernaum, he did no ministry. As far as we know, he did nothing. He relaxed. Downtime from the burden a ministry. And I do want to say at this point in my pastoral ministry, Jesus has delivered me, for I now have no sense of guilt for doing no ministry 1 or 2 days a week. Amen. God has delivered me. Sunday after church, after 3, I'm down. Amen. It's down. Unless you're dying. Amen. It's downtime. Unless some real emergency. No. After 3, I got a chair at home in the kitchen, and that's where I be. Amen. And so I no longer have a problem with that. I have been supernaturally delivered from the sense that I had to do everything in the church. And this is why we are splitting up some of these things among the elders and the deacons. Why are these things necessary? These things are necessary because Jesus, in his sinless humanity, took a break on occasion. Listen, his sinless human body needed it. Even though Jesus was sinless, his physical body had the same limitations as any other human body. And because of this, Jesus needed downtime. Jesus needed rest. Jesus needed some relaxation every now and then. Amen. You know, I still have folks. I called you and I couldn't get you. You're right, because I on Mondays, I'm in the woods. Amen. I called you and you didn't answer. You're right. I was up in my tree stand hunting deer. Amen. And I can see it wasn't an emergency. So you're all right. Amen. I used to feel guilty about those things. I've been delivered. Amen. Jesus needed rest. This also applies to those who do consistent ministry in the local church. Other than pastoral ministry, it is not sin to take an occasional break. It is no sin to take a Sunday off every now and then. Amen. I'm not talking about taking 8 Sundays in a row off now. Amen. Why? Because apparently Jesus did nothing for several days after returning to Capernaum, as evidenced by the fact that the people were really not sure he was in town, but they only heard he was back in town. In Jesus' sinless humanity, his body needed downtime for ministry. So do you, so do I, and so does everybody else that are consistent in week-to-week, month-to-month ministry. You're always there, and we appreciate that. But sometimes you need a little rest. Why? Because Jesus took time to relax, and he obviously wasn't announcing, I'm back in town, because everybody heard he was back, but they didn't know he was back in town. Now, I know you know that's not spiritual, but it has to be spiritual because it's what Jesus did. Amen? That's not spiritual, Pastor. Then that's the first thing Jesus ever did that was unspiritual. Amen. Sometimes you need a break. And I try to encourage young pastors, you know, you can't talk theology 24/7. You can't talk Bible 24/7. And you need to find you another hobby. You need to find something else to do. Number one, God's not expecting that of you. And number two, you need some rest. Number three, people got to see you just, you know, you're a regular Joe. Amen. And so every time they see you, you got, you know, you're going through Genesis through Revelation. That is not what is needed at all times. Amen. Because God doesn't expect that of you. Amen. So you need downtime. You need to have something to do that has nothing to do with preaching and teaching. And I got a whole lot. Well, not a whole lot. Several things I just do now. And I realize when I do them, I function better in ministry. I've come to realize when I get away at least one day a week to, for me, is hunt, fish, do something like that, I function better in the pulpit. I've also found out when I like to read a lot of history, I like to look at a lot of documentaries, and as I watch those and do that, God always enables me to relate that with what I'm reading and studying in the Bible to function a little better in the pulpit. Now, if I was always doing pastor stuff, that would not come about. So you need some downtime. Amen? Amen. Verse 2, and many were gathered together so that there was no longer room, not even near the door. And he was speaking the word to them. The word got around that Jesus was back in town at the house of Peter and Andrew. So they gathered together there. There were so many gathered together that there was no longer room for any to sit or stand, not even near the door. As a result of this large crowd gathering together, the rest of verse 2 says, and he, Jesus, was speaking the word to them. The word speaking there, it's translated preaching in the King James Bible. It's the Greek word laleo. And laleo means to speak concerning random subjects. In other words, Jesus was speaking or giving a talk to those at the home of Peter and Andrew, and he's just there going on about various subjects. And he's speaking to them according to the text says, the word. In other words, the Lord was giving a talk to those at the home of Peter. He's talking about various things, various spiritual issues. Now, a homiletics professor would have given Jesus a D or an F because we are taught you never mix subjects together. You always stay with one subject and then develop it through the text. That can't be right because that's not what Jesus did on this occasion. And so he's speaking on various subjects. Once again, the Lord taught various subjects from the scriptures to this crowd. To me, this is one of the most refreshing portions of text in the Gospel of Mark. For Mark, according to the testimony of Peter, informs us that Jesus, the Lord of glory, the Son of God, the Son of man, truly God and truly sinless man, was speaking on random subjects from the written word of God. Why is that so refreshing to me? And hopefully it'll be to you also. Well, Jesus speaking the word of God to these people is so refreshing to me because it is amazing that in spite of who Jesus was, Messiah, Savior, Son of God, Son of man, truly God, truly sinless man, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. It is amazing to me that we see him here speaking, teaching, and preaching the Old Testament scriptures. The reason why we know the Lord was preaching or speaking the Old Testament is because Mark records Jesus speaking and says he was speaking what? The word to him. Not a word, but he was speaking the word to them. When you see that definitive article in front of word, the word, they're talking about, he's talking about something very specific. He is talking about the written scriptures in Jewish thinking. Anytime you said the word, you were speaking of their Old Testament scriptures, Genesis through Malachi. Jesus never just made it up.
Yes. Good teacher.
He didn't just make stuff up.
Amen. Amen.
As these so-called anointed ones are doing today. If you take a close look at all that Jesus taught and everything he did in the Gospels, you will see he was doing either one of two things. Either he was preaching scripture, or maybe three things. He was living scripture, and he was fulfilling all that the scriptures recorded of him. That's why you always see Jesus saying, have you not read? He would always say, it is written, have you not read? You err, not knowing the scriptures. Jesus never just made some stuff up. He was always preaching and teaching and living out the scriptures.
Amen.
If Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, Savior of the Gentiles, Son of God, Son of man, truly God, truly sinless man, he never departed from the scriptures. but was always ministering them by speaking them, living them out, fulfilling them. How much more do we, who are not even close to being like Jesus, need to glue ourselves to the Word of God? Not just in some things, but all things. Amen?
Yes.
And this is especially true for preachers and teachers and others who are publicly ministering to the people. This is so refreshing to me because none, inclusive of all of these so-called anointed ones of God today, who are supposedly reeking with power, none of us can duplicate the miracles of Jesus. For every miracle, every supernatural work Jesus did, it was according to the sovereign plan and purpose of God. If God chooses to bring about a supernatural wonder or miracle through a person's prayers, it is not because that person worked it up by going to a healing school or going to a signs and wonder school as we see people having today, but it is because this was and is the sovereign work, plan, and purpose of God alone. No one can work miracles at will.
Amen. Teach us.
Miracles are a result of what God wants to do. They are a result of God's sovereign plan and purpose. It is according to what God has ordained. Miracles are according to what God has eternally decreed. And I know you've been taught you can pump God up and make him do stuff. That is error. That is a lie. We can't make God do anything. God is the sovereign Lord of glory. Amen.
Amen.
We are in submission to him, not vice versa. He rules over us. We don't rule over God.
Amen.
These things are up to God. And I know some are skeptical about that because you've been watching too much TV religion. But I make a challenge today, all the anointed ones in the world today. I challenge you. I want you to get in a boat, row to the middle of the pond, lake, or river. Then I want you to get out, and I want you to walk on the water all the way back to the shore. Or go to the nearest graveyard and call someone back from the dead as Jesus did Lazarus. Nobody's going to do this, including all of these so-called super anointed apostles and prophets and bishops reeking with power, other phony religious scam con men.
Amen.
These things are up to God.
Thank you for taking the time to join us today for Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow II, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Tune in tomorrow as he continues to teach the Scriptures. If you want to know more about the church, Sunday morning worship time, or Bible study, visit wocc.org. May the Lord guide you throughout your day.